Okay, so we are Lamed Dalet on the base. We are close to the middle of the page. First word on the line is Yafya. Next words are Tani Rabbanan. Let's rip the Tani Rabbanan. 17 lines from the top. Tani Rabbanan. Just one word, I think, just think it's important to point out. Obviously, we're talking, I think it's interesting, even though our topics all along have been, all about the question of arayos, intimate relationships that are forbidden, that are permitted, etc. I think in the last, yesterday and into today also, talking about very, very, specific, very, in a certain sense, I wouldn't say graphic, but very specific details about that relationship and how it works. And I think it's important to recognize for a moment. I talk to this man, I teach Chasanim all the time, that the Gemara, the Torah, Chazal, don't shy away from every topic, and that this topic, like anyone else, has halachic implications, has emotional implications, has, it's a part of life. And the Chazal and the Torah don't shy away from it. And if we talk about it, like we talk about any other topic, obviously with a certain level of tznius, but still with a recognition that it's part of life, and it's part of, the topics that we have to grapple with as human beings. And I always find, I take pride in that, that Chazal are willing to do that. And that's why, for example, like I said, when I teach Chasanim, that's how we talk about these topics, because you got to talk about them outright and explicitly. Why I talk more explicitly with Chasanim, obviously. But the point being that it's a very, it's real, and it's part of life, and it's part of the Torah. And I think it's important to keep that in mind as we discuss these topics, obviously, in an appropriate way, but in a way that we understand the Torah, that we understand the halacha. As, there's stories in the Gemara Brachos where Talmidim need to understand these questions from Rebbeim, and they would say, it's Torah, but Tzarech Ani Lelamda, it's Torah, I need to learn it like anything else. And that's what this is. So I just think it's important to have the perspective as we continue moving forward. So let's go on with the Gemara. So the Gemara says as follows: Tana Rabbanan Osa. So what's Osa? The Gemara is quoting a pasuk. The pasuk is a pasuk in Vayikra Tes Vav Yud Ches, which says as follows: V'isha Asher Yishkav Ish Osa Shichva Zera. So if a woman will have a physical intimate relationship with a man, they have sexual relations, and it's a Shichva Zera. The type of relationship is one. The interaction is one where the man's zera went into the woman. So what happens? V'rachatzu b'mayim, and they should then clean themselves in water. V'tam'u ad ha'arif, right? And they're actually tame till the next night, right? That there's a certain level of tuma that is activated by the act of tashmish between man and woman when there's hotzar zera. So that itself creates a situation of tuma for the man and for the woman. So the Gemara is going to darshan the word osa. Why do you have to say? Pasuk just said isha asher yishkav ish, right? A woman that a man slept with. Why is it hey? And a woman with whom a man slept with her osa. It's an extra word osa. So the Gemara is going to darshan this word, and it's going to come back to some of the points that we made before. So it says the Gemara osa tan rabbanan osa prat lakala, right? So this idea that a woman becomes temeya from the act of relations comes to exclude a kala, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says a kala is not going to be included in that isser, in that din, that she would not become tameya from the act of intimacy. V'chachamim amrim prat shelo kedarka. Chachamim say no. What comes to include is an act of relations which is not in the typical manner. It's an act which could never create a child, etc. So that's not it's shichva zera implies that the zera is going into into the woman in a way that could create a child, but as opposed to shalok adarka, where that's not possible, and that's why the Torah says osa to exclude that type of intimate relationship where that which does not lead to the zera being potent and doing what it's supposed to do, which is to create a pregnancy. So Amalei hon bered Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman. So hon, the son of Rav Nachman, said to Rav Nachman, Rashi points out, you probably never heard that name before, Hon, he says, is the name of a Talmud Chacham. There was a certain Talmud Chacham whose name was Hon. So Hon says to Rav Nachman, and he was Rav Nachman's son, and he said to his father the following, Lema kasava Rav Yehuda ha-Torah chasa al-tachshit de-kala. So he says, maybe we should say, what's Rav Yehuda's opinion? Why should a kala be excluded from such a rule? If the halacha is that having having an intimate relationship is going to lead to, you know, lead to becoming Timea. So who cares if she's a Kala? Who cares if she's married for 30 years? It should make no difference. So he said, oh, maybe it's because Chazal were worried about her makeup. They're worried about her, the way she adorns herself. Why? Because if she's wearing makeup, she gets all dressed up and she's a Kala. And again, in those days, makeup didn't last for, you know, a few hours and they got washed off, apparently. It would stay for a long time. So she would have to go to the mikvah. And they also, people didn't shower every day. So she would have to go to the mikvah, right, the next night. So what would happen? She did lose all of the adornments that she had. So are Chazal really coming to, maybe Chazal were coming to be makel on her, that she doesn't have to worry, you know, about removing all of that makeup. Again, it's a good question. Is this really a rhetorical? I mean, he's saying, like, is that, could that possibly be the Svara, meaning that's ridiculous? Or is he saying it's a possible answer? It's a good question. But it seems to be like it's almost like rhetorical. Like, really? Like, that's what Chazal were worried about? So Amar Lai, so Rav Nachman answers, no, that's not the Svara. The reason is, Lefisha Ein Isha Misaberes may be a Rishona. It's because, as we mentioned before, that women, a woman, the first time she's having Tashmish, so she can't become impregnated. So if that's true, so what's going on here? And we saw the other opinion in the Gemara before, the other opinion which said Shalom Kadaka would be the answer, meaning anytime there's a intimate act of intimacy that doesn't lead to pregnancy, that can't lead to pregnancy, so maybe that's not called Shechva Zera. That's not an example of an act of intimacy that could lead to becoming pregnant. And that's the reason, says Rav Nachman, that Rabbi Yehuda is saying Prat Lakala, it's almost like, almost similar to the Shalom Kadarka, because they're both examples of an act of intimacy which can't lead to the woman ever becoming pregnant. Okay, so with Micah Miflagi, but what's Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim really arguing about then? So they're both sort of agreeing that an act of intimacy that can't lead to becoming pregnant wouldn't lead to this level of tumah. So Rabbanan Savre Shechva Zera Prat Lahara. Osa Prat L'Shalom Kadarka. So the Rabbanan say like this: when the Torah says, again, the pasuk is "v'shachav ish osa isha sheishkav ish osa shichva zera," so it's osa and shichva zera. So the Rabbanan say that the language of shichva zera, what does that come to teach me? That comes to exclude the situation of ha'ara. Ha'ara mean if the man's aver, right, the man's the part of the man touches the woman, right, but or even maybe enters her a little bit, but there's no ejaculation. And there's no zera in that scenario. It's just that the two parts of their bodies touch each other. So the reason the Torah says shechva zera is to tell you that it's not just the act of intimacy. It's not the act of the man's aver going into the woman that itself creates this tumah. It's specifically when there's hotzah zera, when the zera itself comes out of the man and goes into the woman. So if ha'ara is a scenario where there is no, right, there is no zera present in that act. So if that's true, that's why the language of Shichva Zera comes to mean, specifically if there is, right, Hotza or Zera, there has to specifically be an emission from the man. I mean, if not, she's not Tameya. And Osa comes to tell me Prat L'Shalom Kadarka, because Osa could be, even if, right, there would be Hotza or Zera, but it would be in this direction, you know, in that part of the body, as opposed to in the normal scenario. So again, that's going to be, that's also going to be an act that itself could not lead to becoming pregnant. So again, Shalom Kedarka. So you have those two. Shechva Zera comes to exclude Ha'ara, and Osa comes to exclude Shalom Kedarka. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Shalom Kedarka V'Ha'ara Mishechva Zera Nafka. Right? Rabbi Yehuda says, what do you mean? I can learn out the idea of Ha'ara and, sorry, Shalom Kedarka and Ha'ara, both from Shechva Zera, because like we mentioned before, they're both, if Shechva Zera means it's an act of intimacy that can lead to her to becoming pregnant, in theory, so Ha'ara and Shalom Kadarka are both scenarios where either because there's no Zera coming out at all, or because the place where he's putting his Aver is impossible to impregnate her, even if there would be Zera. But they're both scenarios where it's an act of intimacy that could not lead to becoming pregnant. So I can learn both of those from the word Shechva Zera. So then what's Osa for? Osa is Prat L'Kala. Osa comes to exclude even a Kala. Kala, you might have said, you know, okay, I understand that, you know, it's the Biri Shona, but it's an act of intimacy, right, in the place of the body where it could lead to becoming pregnant, and there's Hotzara Zera. So I might have thought in that scenario, you would have made her Tameya, even though technically she's not supposed to be able to become pregnant from the first time. Nevertheless, it comes the Torah to teach me, Osa, to exclude even a Kala in that scenario. So that's the Machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Do we extend that far? In terms of the Kala. Okay. So Ki Asa Ravin, so then, take us now a little further on in the same. Now, not about the question of the type of tashmish, etc., but more about the question of this question of having to wait after being with after you're with a certain one husband, having to wait a havchana between one and the next. So ki asa, remember the Gemara says, maybe we mentioned this before, when the Gemara says ki asa, when he came, so it always means that it's someone who would come from Eretz Yisrael. He would visit Eretz Yisrael, lived in Eretz Yisrael, and would come to visit in Bavel. So ki asa Ravin means that Ravin used to come to visit. He lived in Eretz Yisrael, he'd come to Bavel, he would arrive, and when he would show up from Bavel, they say, oh, Ravin, tell us what they're saying in Eretz Yisrael. So ki asa Ravin, I'm Rav Yochanan, he said the name Rav Yochanan, kol sheshasa achar baila eser shanim, v'niseis, shuv eni yoledes. So it's an interesting question. Is he telling us a medical concept? Is he telling us like a spiritual, esoteric concept? It's not a halacha, but it's like an interesting, you know, what are you trying to tell us here? So he says any woman who was married, and then she either got divorced or became widowed, and now she's spent 10 years, right, after her original husband before getting married again, and then she gets married, she's not going to be able to become pregnant. It's not going to happen. Okay? So Amrav Nachman, lo shanu ella, she'en da'ita lihinase. Rav Nachman says, well, that's only true if she had in mind already at that point when she was, you know, when her marriage ended to the first man, that she wasn't interested in getting married again. Aval da'ita, meaning she wasn't interested and just took 10 years to get married again. Aval da'ita lihinase misaberes. Rav Nachman says, if she had in mind the whole time that she wanted to get married again, and then it just wasn't, it was out of her control, and then she eventually gets married, so fine. So then she will be able to become pregnant. So again, this doesn't sound like a medical answer, more of a, again, some type of spiritual, you know, impact of a woman deciding, you know, I'm done. I'm not going to have children anymore. So Amalei Rava Labas Rav Chista Kamranane Rabbanan Abasreich. So Rava said to the daughter of Rav Chista, who's the daughter of Rav Chista? The daughter of Rav Chista was his wife. Rashi says, Labas Rav Chista Ishto de Rava. Right, so Rav is talking to Bas Rav Chista, who was his own wife. And she was his own wife after she'd already been married to somebody else. Look at Rashi, Abasreich, about you. Sheshahitz eser shanim achar ba'alei harishon ve'rami barchama haba. Right, we know Rami Barchama is from the Gemara also. So Rav Chista's daughter was married to Rami Barchama, and then I don't know if Rami Barchama passed away or they got divorced, and then 10 years later, at least, she married Rav. So Rav says to Bas Rav Chista, they are, you know, saying not nice things about you, right? Because at the end of the day, I think what happened afterwards was that she then had a child with Rava. So, with Rava. She then had a child with Rava. So the implication was that if she had a child with him, what does it mean? It must mean it was a legitimate child or, you know, there's something going on here because, something funny, because if she had really spent 10 years away from her after her first husband and then first marries Rava, so it should be impossible for her to have a child. So something, you know, something sinister must be going on. So she says, his point being, not that they're really saying it about her, the fact that they said such a klal, and she's included in that klal, means they're saying something, implying something about you. So Amrele, she said about it, she said to him, Ana datai aleich havai. And she says, no, you don't understand, I was thinking about you the whole time. You know, the entire time between Rami Barchama and when we got married, I was already had in mind that I wanted to marry you. And so that's the reason why, again, this whatever this rule is didn't impact me, because I was already ready to I was already planning to get married again, and that's why my my ability to become pregnant, the clock didn't stop for me. Okay. Hahi da asa lekamad Rav Yosef. There's a woman who came to Rav Yosef and Amrlo, and she said to him, Rebbe Anna Shahisi Achabali Esr Shanim Vialati, she said, I was married to her first man. It was 10 years since I was, you know, after that marriage had ended, and I married a new man, and then I was able to have a child. So Amalei, he said to her, Biti altotzi las al divrei chacham. He said to her, don't say, you know, not nice things about Chazal. Meaning, what he's saying to her is, come on, we know that that's not true. The fact that you became pregnant during that time period must mean that you, again, there was something fishy going on here. And so she says, so it's like basically like admit it. So she says to him, "I'm relay l'nachri nevati." She goes, "Okay, you're right. It's true. I actually had a relationship with a non-Jewish man in the meantime, and that's how I had a child. And it wasn't actually waiting 10 years before I, between two separate marriages that I had a child. Because you're right, Chazal are still correct. Okay, fine. So So now the Gemara continues talking about this din of havchan, of having to wait between one husband and the next. So Amar Shmuel, v'kulan srichos lahamtin. Shlosha chadashim, chutz migiyores, umishachreres ketana. Okay, so Shmuel says, this rule of all the people have to wait, so everyone has to wait 3 months. Every woman who's married to a man and then wants to marry a different man, so she gets divorced or she becomes a widow from her first husband. Either way, she's got to wait 3 months before she goes to the next husband, except for a giyores umishuchreres katana. So either a girl who's becoming divorced, who's a katana, or a woman who was a shivcha, right? She was not married. She was a slave who became freed. Again, a shivcha kananis who becomes free. She becomes a full-fledged Jew. And again, so she was a shivcha kananis who was a katana also, who then was freed. Both of these women, if they are katanos, they are allowed to get married immediately. Okay, aval katana ba'as Yisrael tzrich lahantim gimel chadashim. But a katana a regular Jewish katana who was, you know, 10 years old, 11 years old, whatever, and she had been married off by her father or by her you know, brother and mother, had married her off, and then her relationship ends with the man she was married to. So she still has to wait 3 months. And it's a funny question, because in the end of the day, all katanim, right, all katanos, sorry, all these katanos, the assumption is they're not capable of becoming pregnant. So if they're not capable of becoming pregnant, what are they waiting for? Right, so the Bas Yisrael has this rule that if a regular Jewish young girl who had been married off and then gets divorced from her, you know, ends the relationship with that first man and goes to marry a new man while she's still a katana, has to have this havchan, this time in between. But these other women do not require it. And the funny thing is, why should any of them require it? After all, there's no concern that she's pregnant from some previous marriage. It's not possible. So Gemara says, Ubamai. Gemara says, well, what's the scenario where we're requiring this? Iba miyun, if it's a scenario when, again, she was married off not by her father, but by her brother. Her father had passed away, and so she's married off by her brother and her mother to some man. And that relationship we've talked about before is not a real halachic marriage. She's a katana, so it's not a halachically valid marriage midaraisa, right? So she's married midarabanan, but since she's only married midarabanan, what she needs to get out of that relationship, she only needs a miyun. She just has to refuse him, and that's enough. She doesn't really need, she just need a get. So if you're telling me that she is getting out of this relationship from a case of miyun, iba miyun v'hamar Shmuel the lobai. Shmuel already said that in a case of miyun, she doesn't need to wait. Look at Rashi. Iba miyun v'hamar Shmuel the lobai. I'm too nice. She doesn't have to wait. The leikel emigzer mishum gedola. The ain gedola yotzis v'miyun. Let's take one step back. Actually, I just realized. Let's take a look at the Rashi beforehand. The Rashi beforehand had said srichos lahamtin, right? That all these women who have to wait. So it says Rashi as follows. Let's read this Rashi. It's important. Srichos lahamtin minhinase l'shlosh chadashim. They got to wait 3 months. Achar biyasan chutz migiyores mishuheres ketana. Va'af agav v'stam overes kochavim v'shivcha zonos hein. And even though any non-Jewish woman, we assume, you know, could have been they were promiscuous. So nevertheless, again, she's a katana. Chazal weren't worried about her, that maybe she was pregnant. She's a katana. Okay, so she's a gedola. We're concerned. She's been involved in other relationships before, but this katana, we're not worried. So what's going on here? Right? They're all talking about cases of katanos. They're all situations of women, girls who are below the age of Bas Mitzvah. The katana Bas Yisrael tzricha lahamtin, but nevertheless, a katana Bas Yisrael has to wait. And why is that? Va'af agad la bas banim, even though she can't have children, ve'ein kan hafchana bein zara shal rishon and zara shal shen. There's no need for a distinction between the two husbands. Gazer be'ir abanim mishum gedola. Right, so that's an important point here. Now, what's the reason to make a distinction by the katana Bas Yisrael as opposed to the katanos from a shivcha mishuchreres or a giyores? Is that the katana Bas Yisrael is already a Jew. And since she's already a Jew, the halach is by every other Jewish woman that if she ends one relationship and goes to another, she has to wait 3 months. So we made a gezerah by the katana also. She also has to wait 3 months, because if you don't require 3 months by her, so she's 11 in, you know, she's 11 in 7 months, and you're not going to require hafchana by her. So by the girl who's 12 years old and 3 months, you might make a mistake and say, oh, well, who needs the hafchana? We never had this rule by the other girl, and not going to realize that one was a gedola, one was a katana. But that's, so that's why we have this rule, specifically by Katana Bas Yisrael, we have this, you know, gezeira for her. However, when it comes to the girls who were not Jewish, or she was a shifcha, and then becomes Jewish, then we don't have that concern. So the Gemara's question then was, just to put us back where we were, so what's the scenario we were talking about? So if the kid, was a scenario of miyun for the katana bas yisrael, if it's a situation of miyun, so then Shmuel says, even in that case, even though typically we make a gzeira of the katana because of a gadola, by a case of miyun, we're not going to have to worry. Now look at the second Rashi. Sorry, that makes more sense. Iba miyun hamar Shmuel delo baya amtune delekele migzer mishum gadola. Why? The ain gadola yotis be miyun. Right, if she's going to go out with a miyun, I don't have to make a gezeira. She already, the fact that she's going out with miyun already makes it so clear that she's a katana. This is totally not a scenario of a gadol. You're never going to mix up one with the other, and that's why if it's a scenario of leaving b'miyun, there's nothing even to worry about in that case. So what's going on here? So let's go back to the Gemara. So Gemara said iba miyun va'amar Shmuel lobay. So if iba get, but if she got a get, ha'amar Shmuel chadazimna. Shmuel already told us this halacha. Da'amar Shmuel miyun abo eina tzricha lahamtin shlosha chadashim nasan laget tzricha lahamtin shlosha chadashim. So Shmuel taught us already. So what are you teaching me? A new halacha? It's not a new halacha. Shmuel taught us that by miyun you don't need a get, you don't need a havchana between the two marriages, and by get you do need a havchana. So answers the Gemara, el biznus v'gaz rabbanan ketana mishum gadol. So the case is not a case where she was already married and got miyun, or a case where she was already married and had a get, because in both those scenarios you know the halacha. By miyun she doesn't need havchana, and by get she does need havchana. The case was a case of znus. Right, a case where she was actually together with some other man who was not a husband, she is not married to him. And what happens in that case? But nevertheless, so she was mizana, and now she wants to go ahead and be and get married to a new man, or maybe go back to her original husband. But the point is, in that scenario, in that situation, we Chazal made a gzeira on her mishum gadola. Right, look at Rashi. V'gazer rabbanan katana v'gabe giyoris katana lo gazer mishum delo shchicha. So, you know, to be in a scenario where the girl is also a katana and a giyores and a shor was a shivcha kananis, and now she became Jewish and now she was mizana and now she wants to go back to a new husband, like the scenario is so unlikely that again the whole point of this is a gezeira on a katana because of a case of gadola. Again, the need for avchana doesn't exist. She's a katana, there's no concern she's pregnant. So when it came to a case of a regular Bas Yisrael who was married and had a get, so then we have to make a gezeira because we're nervous that may be we'll confuse it with a gadola. And same thing, an extension that's being made here is that even by a katana, Bas Yisrael, who was mizana, she was together with a man outside of marriage, that in that scenario, we also require havchana, again, mishum gadola, because of the possibility it could happen by an adult woman also. So we make the rule there also. However, we wouldn't make that gezeira in the case of the giyores or the shifcha mishukhreres, because again, Chazal only make gezeiros in situations that are, you know, that come up every once in a while. At least, but something that's so not shchich and never happens, they don't use their power to make gezeiros on scenarios that are not that don't come up. Okay, so we finish up with Daf Lamed Aleph, and we will continue with Lamed Hey, and get ready to finish the third parak next week.